Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Titans tight end Austin Hooper coming up at 8:15. So looking forward to that conversation with the newest tight end for the Tennessee Titans. So I was thinking about this last night. The AFC with a lot of movement over the offseason. Lots of additions, lots of competitiveness, especially in the AFC West. That's going to be, I think, maybe the most highly anticipated division that I've seen in a while in the NFL. So which non-playoff team from a year ago are you most confident in getting back in the playoffs this year? And there are some very intriguing options on that front. You look at the AFC South. Indianapolis, not in the playoffs last year. They've picked up Matt Ryan. The Chargers, not in the playoffs last year. They've made some additions this offseason, and you'll now have year three of Justin Herbert. The Baltimore Ravens did not make the playoffs last year. The Cleveland Browns did not make the playoffs last year. The Denver Broncos did not make the playoffs last year. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing options here in the AFC. I ask you, Joe Rexroad, as you sort through the AFC teams, or teams that did not make the playoffs last year. By the way, the teams that did make the playoffs last year, the Titans, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Steelers. So those are the AFC playoffs teams from a year ago. What team stands out to you as the one you're most confident in that makes the playoffs this year?
Not the Browns. Let me say not the Browns, but it's a really tough question. It is tough. I like the Colts. I'm picking the Colts right now to win the AFC South, okay? So clearly, I like the Colts, but they wouldn't be my answer. My answer's got to be the Chargers. And Chargers and Ravens are the two, to me, either of them, to me, could be Super Bowl teams this year. Now, granted, you could say that, I think, about a lot of teams in the AFC. If this breaks your way, A, B, C, and D, One of these teams, it's going to go their way, and there could be a big surge. I just feel like the Chargers, now they are a little bit of that preseason, off-season darling team in a lot of years. You look at their roster, and then it doesn't come together. But I think things are coming together.
I think everybody was a year too early on them with the hype.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And they did have some injuries, but also they had some just bad coaching. He really needs to, use his head a little bit.
Put the chart down a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of get his point against Kansas City. Like, you got to get every point you can. Like, you got to get touchdowns, not field goals. But if you added up a few field goals, that helps you.
Yeah.
It does help you.
Three's better than zero.
And sometimes punting deep in your own end is also a smart play. It's you gain 50, 45, 50 yards by doing that. You lose the ball, but you got a good defense. But I will say, other than that, I like their system and everything. And I definitely like their talent. I mean, with Herbert, with Eckler, you've got, plus they brought in Spiller now, which is kind of interesting. You got Slater. I mean, you got guys on defense for sure, starting with Joey Bosa. So, Derwin James. I mean, they got a lot of things to like.
Well, I didn't even bring up the Dolphins, who, what'd they do last year? Close the season by winning 9-10 or whatever it was, and now you've got Tyreek Hill down there in Miami as well. I mean,
it's worth a mention.
It's certainly worth a mention. Now, the Dolphins would not be my answer as terms of who I'm most confident in. Like, honestly, There was one team that came to mind immediately when I started thinking about this question that just feels like they're going to go back to being a really good team next year. Baltimore. Like, yeah. I think Baltimore is going to be – like, if I had to pick a division winner, everybody's going to be all over the Bengals, and I understand that. They're coming off a Super Bowl appearance. They have a great offense. They have Joe Burrow. Like, I get it. And I'm not saying the Bengals aren't going to be good next year, because I think they will be. But I think Baltimore is going to win that division. Like, I think you got Lamar Jackson. I know he's got the contract stuff going on, and it's kind of a weird situation with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens right now. But they just, to me, had a sneaky good offseason, like a very Baltimore Ravens-esque offseason. And, you know, Lamar got hurt last year, and they still almost made the playoffs with him hurt as much as he was. Like, I think the Ravens are going to be pretty darn good this year. That was the team that immediately came to mind for me.
Yeah, well, those two. But let's also remember, what if, like, Khalil Mack has a – I mean, he's still young. He's not old.
Yeah.
What if he has a monster year for the Chargers, by the way?
Yeah.
I just look at their – they draft Zion Johnson, the guy who was supposed to be playing here. They add Corey Linsley. I'm just enamored with this Chargers roster. But I'm with you. I mean, Baltimore was my second choice. And I agree. Like, they're due for a big bounce back. They're gonna be a problem. They had a lot of problems like the Titans did last year. The Titans reacted way better than the Ravens did.
Yep.
But if you consider both of them, maybe both of them have a little bit better luck. There's just a lot. They added a lot. I think they're better up front. You know, Dobbins is a guy who I still think Dobbins could be a really good player. Hurt. God, was he hurt in camp or just early in the season last year? I think it was camp, right?
I think it was camp.
You got you got Calais Campbell. Very good secondary. You know, Patrick Queen. You throwing Josh Bynes now. Yeah, I mean, Kyle Fuller. I mean, you've got a lot to like about that team. I'm looking at, you know, at receiver for them, and I'm still not totally sure about their receiving core.
You need a big step from Bateman in year two.
Yeah, Bateman's got to have a big year. But, I don't think it's ever going to be, you know, Lamar Jackson at some point, obviously he's got to, like, you know, win huge playoff games, and they had a chance in that Buffalo game. He threw a terrible pick. I mean, he's got to do that, but they're never going to be like the team that, like, quote unquote, gets figured out. I mean, if they execute and he's still Lamar Jackson, they're just tough to deal with.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Which non-playoff team in the AFC from a year ago are you most confident in making the playoffs this season? Could it be the Colts? We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Throwing out the question, which non-playoff team in the AFC from last year are you the most confident in making the playoffs this year? Ryan on Twitter says, easily the Chargers. Easily the Chargers. Like, I think the Chargers are going to be really good this year. I wasn't a big believer in them last year, buying into all the hype. And I said it a few minutes ago, I think everybody was probably a year too early on the Chargers stuff. Like, I think they're going to be really good this year. The one worry that I have about them is just the division. Like, I mean, you've got a gauntlet in front of you in the division with Kansas City, with the Raiders. Apparently, I mean, according to Devontae Adams, Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers are the same quarterback, like right on par with each other. So,
ooh, yeah,
that's interesting.
Let's read that quote. You got that quote?
I don't.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's good stuff.
I will find it.
Russell Wilson now in Denver. I mean, you've got, and, you know, Denver's got a good defense. That division is something that, you know, that's why my answer would probably shift towards Baltimore a little bit more, because the Steelers, I think, are going to take a step back this year. You've got the Browns and the dysfunction that is the Cleveland Browns right now in that division. Like, the division in the AFC North is just not as good as the AFC West. I mean, you can make the same thing about, you know, the Dolphins in the East. You've got the Bills and you've got the Patriots. Could the Dolphins find their way in that mix and maybe unseat the Patriots this year as the number two team? Maybe. I don't know. But I feel better about the Ravens just because of the division that they play in.
Yeah. Real quick on that quote, Devonta Adams. On asked to compare Derek Carr to Aaron Rodgers. Quote, as far as talent and ability, it's really similar if I'm keeping it real. End quote.
Just so stupid.
Robbie. I see the eye roll.
Oh, my goodness.
Aaron Rodgers has more ability in his pinky finger than Derek Carr has in his whole body.
Oh, my goodness. It's ridiculous. Like this. I love it. Hey, man. Derek Carr's pretty good. Come on. He's pretty good.
Aaron Rodgers, a top five quarterback to ever play the game.
Well, you know, he's getting older. Maybe, you know, Devontae just saw him in his older years.
Good gracious, man. I know he's your college teammate and your buddy and all, but let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny one. The other side of this question is, which playoff teams of last year won't be there? I feel great about saying the Steelers. Like, I feel great about it. Sorry, Michelle. Hey, come on. You got to be realistic.
You don't think Baby Hands is coming in there leading them to the playoffs again? Or Mitch Trubisky?
Like Chucky. He's like Chucky, like stabbing the Browns.
Is he going to start? Is it going to be Trubisky or Baby Hands?
Michelle, I don't know.
To be honest, I actually have no idea. Yeah. I would think he might. I don't know.
Nah, I mean, it's either way. I think they're not going to make it. But what about the Patriots? Are we sure the Patriots are a playoff team?
I'm not sure the Patriots are a playoff team. No.
And if they're not, I don't know, man. I'm not super enthused about where the Patriots are going here. Could be wrong.
Well, I think the big question is,
they don't look great.
I think there will be some people that pick four teams from the AFC West to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I buy that. I mean, that's pretty hard to do when you're playing each other as often as they do.
Like last year, There was that opportunity if things didn't totally fall apart for Seattle.
Yes.
There was that opportunity in the West. But that's the thing. Somebody's going to fall apart.
Right.
And they're going to beat each other up so much.
Like, if I had to just sit here today and predict it, I would go Chargers 1, Chiefs 2, Raiders 3, Broncos 4 in that division. Would be how I think it lays out. We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be pretty close. But I think that's how it lays out. But I think there will be some people that say, you know what, all four of those teams are going to make it in the AFC West. I think it's really difficult to do. I still think the Titans are a playoff team. You know, we haven't talked a bunch about the Colts yet. Like, we talked about divisions with the AFC North. You talk about an easier division. Look at the AFC South with the Titans, and you've got the Texans and the Jags just loafing around.
Well, that's why I've got the Titans and Colts both in the playoffs, because I'm giving them both four wins. I'm building in four wins to their bottom line. And that may be a mistake, and Trevor Lawrence may get – I mean, it probably is a mistake to pick the Colts to beat the freaking Jags. They just can't figure out how to do that down there. It's incredible. Yep. But I'm going to go ahead and do that. And that's a huge difference. What guaranteed wins are you building in for any of the AFC West teams? Maybe like Denver at home, but other than that, it's going to be fantastic is what it's going to be. And we have picks that are going to be much later, but again, with seven teams, I mean, you can only take seven.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm looking at the Bills as the only AFC East team. If you're going Titans,
well, they're going 17-0.
Well, of course. They might lose one. Titans, Colts, there's three. I definitely think the Chiefs are a playoff team. I definitely think the Chargers are a playoff team. I really do. So there's five.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the AFC North yet where
I feel good about the Ravens and Bengals.
Look, I do too. But like, even if you told me, like, you know, the Raiders make the playoffs but the Bengals don't or something like that, like, that's possible.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild to get to seven teams here. Right now, I'd probably go Ravens, Bengals, Bills, Titans, Colts. So there's five, and we haven't gotten to the best division in football.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm going to probably go Chiefs, Chargers, but I don't feel great about not picking the Raiders to make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's
And then we're not even talking about Russell Wilson.
Which he could make a huge difference for them. I don't know.
Well, he'll make a difference. He'll make a difference. That's another one. Like Matt Ryan, huge individual question of really, like, is he still good? We know Russell Wilson's still good, yep. But how much of a difference right now in his career does Russell Wilson make for that team?
I got a texter that says, did everyone forget about Trey Lance playing for the 49ers? That's an NFC team. So
did everybody forget that the National Football Conference exists?
Dave in Big Rock says, this might not be a hot take, but I think the Bears finished last in the NFC North, win less than four games.
Oh, by any team. I'm just kidding.
Have we started talking about the NFC? What's going on here?
You guys, can't we talk about the AFC? That's what the team that plays in this town plays in the AFC. Like, guys, the NFC next year is like...
I struggle to find seven playoff teams.
Like, if the AFC is like the SEC, then the NFC is like... Conference USA. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit dramatic.
But it's
like the Pac-12.
But I think you just did a good job. Like, we're trying to figure out who are the seven playoff teams going to be in the AFC, and you can go 11 or 12 deep and have legitimate, legitimate playoff aspirations.
You can argue about the Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can still argue that the Steelers are the freaking Steelers, and they've got a certain, DNA and a
swagger.
Coach. You can argue that. You could argue the Browns still have a loaded roster in one way or another. Well, I don't know what you argue about the Browns right now.
I don't know
what you argue about the Browns because Baker's never going to take another snap.
Jacoby Brissett.
No, we can all agree with that, right? It is Jacoby.
I guess it's Brissett or Dobbs.
It'd be amazing. Like, I was just gonna make a human being comparison. Like Dobbs, like one of the greatest guys ever. But this is where what if he took over and was great? Wouldn't that be an amazing story?
Yeah.
But it's probably not gonna happen.
The NFC, like the NFC North, you have the Packers who don't have Devontae Adams anymore. You have the Vikings who, I guess, could be a playoff team this year. And then there's the Lions and the Bears, both of which I think will be total trash coming up this year.
Easy.
Lions, I think, will improve. Look, what Dave threw out there, like, I don't think it's a stretch that the Bears could be in last place in
no,
the NFC North.
It's not a stretch. But you know what? We'll see. I actually do like Justin Fields. I think he can make a jump. But, yeah, like, they could both be trash. Giants, Washington.
The Commanders.
They could certainly be Cheeks, Panthers.
Hey, Cheeks.
How good are the Falcons?
Cheeks. I mean, come on.
I mean, Seattle has got to be. Is Seattle the most depressing team in the NFL?
It could be.
It's like, well, Drew's not quite able to beat out Geno, but he's pushing hard. Like, I don't even want them to play in the league this year.
I will say the most interesting team, I don't know how we got on the NFC conversation, but we'll stick with it. The most interesting team in the NFC to me is New Orleans. Like, they made a lot of additions over the offseason. Jameis is back. He's going to be, I assume, healthy by the time the season starts. They're 5-2 with him as the quarterback last year before he got hurt. Their defense should be good. You've got Dennis Allen taking over as head coach. Tyrann Mathieu's down there now. Jarvis Landry's down there now. They drafted Chris Olave. Like, New Orleans is, they could be sneaky good.
No, yeah. And which is nice to say about an NFC team, They're like the Oregon Ducks. Like, hey, maybe they'll be good again. Now, that's what the NFC is. I'm comparing everybody to Pac-12 teams now because that's basically what they are relative to the larger picture. But yeah, we were having a nice AFC discussion, and the listeners forced us to talk about the NFC.
By the way, the text that talked about Trey Lance said, "Sorry, I just woke up, hopped on the radio, and heard you guys talking about quarterbacks. I just assumed we were talking about every team. It's all good.
You don't need to apologize.
Yeah, there's no need to apologize to us really ever.
Yeah." I mean, we're going to shame you either way. So,
Chris on the text line says, forget the AFC. Let's just talk about Brady. Did you know that Steelman asked him the MF-er question one time? Wow, it's coming from Chris on the text line.
What?
We've totally gone off the rails here on this program today.
That was a good question. Was he the MF-er? Did you just ask me that? He never said for sure he wasn't the MF-er.
He didn't. Viking Matt on the text line says, wow, Joe, easy on the Pac-12. An NFC team will win the Super Bowl. It's coming from Viking Matt.
Hey, look, I love Reggie Bush, back when I cared about the Pac-12.
Were they still the Pac-10 then?
Yeah, the Pac-8. I'm old enough to remember the Pac-8. Okay?
Justin Herbert was a Pac-12er.
He was.
He was, yeah. For a once-proud program that at least has like a new uniform every 5 days.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We will get to an interesting day for Tom Brady coming up next. Also, a quote from Dean Pease yesterday, former Titans defensive coordinator now with Atlanta, that I couldn't really believe when I saw it. We'll get to that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Austin Hooper, Titans tight end, joining the show at 8:15, so looking forward to that. Joe, there was an interesting quote that I saw. That I think the first time I saw it was this morning when you retweeted it. Coming down from Atlanta from Dean Pease. So obviously Dean Pease, former Titans defensive coordinator, now the defensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. And this tweet coming from Maria Martin on Twitter says, quote, Falcons defensive coordinator Dean Pease told me, quote, I don't know why Tennessee let him go, and quite frankly, I don't care. But I'm glad they did, discussing Rashawn Evans, former first-round pick of the Titans, now, of course, with the Atlanta Falcons, as is apparently everybody that leaves the Titans. They end up with the Falcons this offseason. So Dean Pease saying, I don't know why the Titans let him go. Quite frankly, I don't care, but I'm glad that they did, talking about Rashawn Evans. What are your thoughts on that? Dean Pease apparently in disbelief that the Titans let Rashawn Evans go.
Well, that's an interesting quote. I must say, I was like, really? Okay. I think some of it could just be Dean Pease trying to give Rashawn Evans confidence.
Sure.
I think some of it is that Rashawn Evans is very talented. He is talented. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And let's also remember that Rashawn Evans' best season in the NFL was Dean Pease's last season as the Titans defensive coordinator in 2019. When at that point, when that season ended, I thought, okay, now he's about to take the next step, and the first round destiny is about to be fulfilled with Rashawn Evans. And then, of course, it's not like it fell off a cliff, but it didn't progress.
Yep.
And he just never got – Rashawn Evans is just he's more talented, and in certain – like in small spaces, he's overwhelming at times. But he's not a great linebacker in space. You know, he's not an instinctive player who, like, is just around the ball. He's okay. He's starting for the Falcons. Maybe he'll have a big year. What if they have just like, you know, like Rashawn Evans, just monster Pro Bowl year, Mariota lighting it up. Yeah, Firkser comes in and just like, oh, it's Pitts and Firkser? How are you going to deal with both of those guys when they're in two tight end? Who else could go in there for them? Who the heck else?
Cam Batson.
Yeah, Batson comes out, is just taking Mariota little slant passes for 50
Jeremy
yards.
Jeremy McNichols, sweep.
Where's he on the depth chart?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to. Yeah, McNichols becomes third down back, big time player. But, I mean, the thing about that quote is, and I don't expect Dean Pease to care or follow along, right? I mean, he's focused on his second post-retirement job in the NFL. You know, but I mean, if you are paying attention, there's a very simple answer, and it's that David Long was just flat out better than him, and now they have Zach Cunningham.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
The answer is you have two linebackers at the moment that are significantly better than Rashawn Evans,
right.
And you just spent a third-round pick on one last year as well.
Yeah. But so, now, again, with Dean Pease, in his own personal experience, he left, and Rashawn Evans was a certain place, and it was pretty good, and it was trending in a good direction.
Yeah.
And then after he was gone, it didn't go well. Is that because Dean Pease left? Had Dean Pease stayed here, would Rashawn Evans be on his option year and an excellent starter for the Titans?
Maybe, but like you pointed out, he's never really been that great in space in terms of the way that you have to play the game now. Like he can be good stopping the run. He can be really good on the goal line, which we saw a lot. Oh. He was a missile at times on the goal line.
No
so,
doubt.
I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I thought he played better last year than he did 2 years ago. Like, I thought I two agree. Years ago he was bad.
No.
And then last year, you know, in the time that he was in there, I thought he was okay. Now, the problem with that is you had Zach Cunningham come in later. You had David Long playing the way he was playing. Jayon Brown was on the team. And eventually, I mean, Rashawn Evans in the playoff game wasn't playing.
Inactive.
He was inactive. So, right.
So if Dean Pease, yeah, like to answer Dean Pease, it's like, well, Dean, he didn't even play in the playoff game. So yeah. You can't be surprised by it, you know. But I agree with you. He was better last year, and he actually made some plays in coverage. But Zach Cunningham is the same kind of player, but just absolutely better. Zach Cunningham is instinctive and is consistently around the ball. And then Long is, you know, it's almost like different positions, the way Long plays a game and Evans plays a game. But you need Long. You need a Long inside.
Yeah. I mean, I am interested to see how he does in Atlanta. I mean, the defense in Atlanta is not good, and it's probably not going to be good this year. But, you know, to your point, Evans does have talent. He did play well under Dean Pease in his last year there. I'm interested to see, like, is there a revitalization of his career down there with the Falcons? I guess we'll find out. I don't have high hopes that that's going to be the case, but it was 100% the right move for the Titans to move on from Rashawn Evans. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the thing about all that is throughout everything, starting, not starting, playing well, not playing well, Rashawn Evans was fantastic here, you know, just in terms of publicly with us, you know, I felt like he was always like a really good guy in that locker room and a leader to you can't, it's hard to be a leader when you're struggling, you're not a great player, one of the best players on the team, but still, I mean, he's a great addition to like any team and he's incredibly gifted physically. So it's not like it would be the craziest thing in the world for him to have a really good year. Dean Pease, look, I mean, Dean Pease is a very good DC, and Dean Pease is a guy who builds relationships with players and I think gets the most out of some players that some other coaches can't. So, Mariota and Rashawn, all the way to the AFC South title. What a story it would be.
What a story it would be indeed. Interesting day for Tom Brady yesterday as Tampa Bay's down there. I don't even know if they're in minicamp or if they're still in OTAs. But he was addressing the media yesterday. And first off, he was asked about his relationship with Bruce Arians. There's a lot of speculation on that this offseason. And he gave, you know, I don't have any animosity towards him whatsoever. They've got a great relationship, all that stuff that you would expect Tom Brady to say. The interesting part of the Brady press conference yesterday was when he was asked about the report about the Dolphins that I think Florio put out there of him being interested in maybe becoming an owner or a quarterback or maybe a little bit of both with the Miami Dolphins. And he was asked about that report, and here was the full quote from Brady. Quote, "I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people I've had for the last 3 or 4 years above my career about different opportunities when I'm done playing football. So I kind of made a decision of what I'd like to do, and I'll get to be in the game of football. I think for me the most important thing is where I'm at now and what I hope to do for this team. That's been my commitment to this team and this organization. It's been so much fun for me to come here 2 years ago. It's been almost 2.5 now, and it's been an incredible part of my football journey, and it's not over." That's the quote from Tom Brady. So an impressive job of Brady of, like, not really addressing that at all and fading into his time there in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
So basically confirmation.
It's confirmation
of everything that everybody said.
Happened,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Well done, though.
Hey. If you're the Dolphins, you got to be looking around saying, man, Brady could have been player owner.
Player owner. Has that ever?
Is that allowed?
Why not? That's probably happened, right? Like in the 1900s for some fledgling, like the Canton Bulldogs or something.
Yeah.
It was like a player owner or something. I need to look that up. Has there ever been a player owner in anything?
Well, I'm going to talk all the way around this and not deny it and just keep going.
Yeah.
It's good stuff from Brady yesterday. Yeah. That's why he's the Pharaoh. That's why he's the GOAT.
Pass the avocado tequila.
That's right. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rex Rhodes' rant of the day. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737 1025. The NBA Finals are here, and so is your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. You can bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you can combine bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. Boston up 2-1 in this series. I think the Warriors respond with a win tonight. Give me Steph Curry over on points as well. I know he's hobbling, but he says he's going to play, and I think he plays well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up with promo code ROB. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. You can join today with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Make every game feel like Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Just a beautiful musical rendition bringing us back in here today on the program. It's mute number two for Rex Road today. I don't really blame you right now, though.
Well, I was trying not to listen. First two of the week, too, right? First two mutes of the week? I think so.
Sure, we'll go
with that. Yeah, right. And who is that?
Rebecca Black. That song came out about when I was in middle school.
I was going to say, that's an old one. That's an old annoying song.
I've just started to think, okay, I'm just going to find old pop songs that I used to love. And I know Rexford probably won't like them.
Well, okay.
Nailed that.
Well, I mean, it's not a great song, but you will be surprised. I'm not even going to say.
Well, we all know you love Party in the USA.
Oh, you already knew that. Dang it. Okay, because I figured that might be one that you do. Yeah. There are others.
Rex, my plan is foiled.
I also know you're a Taylor Swift fan.
Ah, shoot. Okay. Well, I may be a hose then. There may be others, though. What's the one? It was like on the terrible reality show, like Orange. Like Katie made me watch this awful reality show, Orange County, or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
The Real Housewives?
No.
Oh, The Hills?
The OC, right?
The OC.
Wasn't the OC? No, not the OC. No.
Maybe it
was Laguna Beach. Is that the one? Feel the rain.
Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
I mean, that's a great song.
I love that. That's my go-to karaoke song.
Really? Okay. So you might have played that, and then I would have been excited. I would have been happy. I couldn't have done a rant. But, yeah, you got me pretty good with that one. So,
by the way, Jimmy on the text line says, Jackie Moon, player owner. Thank you.
Nice. Little Flint Tropics reference. Okay, so we have a little discussion here. So last week, something I hate happened to me, which is I was on Twitter too much, as I always am.
Okay.
And then this Clay Travis video kept getting tweeted into my timeline about him swearing at an umpire in a Little League game and getting kicked out. And it was like it kept showing up and showing up and showing up. And people kept shaming him and yelling at him. And a couple times I actually almost clicked on it, but then I couldn't do it, okay? I couldn't do it. So full disclosure, we've got Outkick 360 coming on 94.9 Monday. Good for them. Good for the station. Like those guys. Love their show. It's great. I will continue also to remind folks that Clay Travis, when his name comes up, he's an ignorant gas bag. That said, I saw those guys had the ump in the studio, which is funny. I'm sure that was a good conversation. I didn't listen to that either. But I noticed a lot of people shaming Clay for doing what he did, which is great. And it brings me to this, two things. One, a reminder. One, a question. The reminder, we've said this before. This has been a rant before in various forms. If you're a parent of a child playing youth sports and you yell and or swear at an umpire or an official, which is usually like a kid making $8 an hour, you're a loser, okay? Now, same thing if you do it to an opposing player. If you bump an opposing player, anything like that, it's absolutely unacceptable. You have to look in the mirror This also means we have a lot of losers in this country, unfortunately, because like it's still another thing that gets tweeted every week is like some parent screaming.
Going nuts.
Just, it's bad. Okay, so we have a problem. But my question is, because I fear being a little bit of a hypocrite, is what is acceptable? Because I will say that I have been at lots of games where I said something like, you know, come on, Blue, on a call. Or, no. Oh, that's a bad call. Like, what is, am I a hypocrite? Should I keep my mouth absolutely shut in these things? Or is there a certain level of acceptable complaining before you get, we can all agree that swearing or going off on something is terrible. But should we even be yelling at all at these people who are officiating our kids' games? For little money, with very little appreciation.
Well, what definition of yelling are we talking about? Because you're like screaming at someone, probably not. But I mean,
like, come on! I don't have
any problem with that.
Okay,
like there is part of this too, where like I understand a lot of this is some of it is kids being umpires, some of it is you know some older people trying to make some extra money on the weekend and stuff like that. So you know, it's not like you're dealing with professional umpires here in terms of you know they're in the Major League Baseball or whatever, but they are still getting paid. Like. When you're getting paid, like you're going to get some criticism. I think as long as you keep it relatively civil, you're fine. Like I don't have a problem with coaches in youth baseball or, you know, if it's even parents every now and then just being like, hey, man, what was that? It's a bad call there. What are you doing there? Like I don't have any problem with that. Like when you start yelling and like getting it – that's the problem. It always like escalates. So it may start with that sometimes and then it gets into – all of a sudden, you're nose to nose with this umpire that's making $9 an hour. Like that's when it's ridiculous.
Well, of course, yeah. Like that's, I mean, if you start getting to that point, I mean, and again, I've seen this in any sport I can think of at some point. I mean, I think in every single sport my kids have not T-ball. Okay, T-ball was all good.
Yeah,
because T-ball is like, okay, hit the ball. This is my coaching career was like T-ball. Coach all my kids in T-ball.
Okay, you take that.
You can hit that 400 feet or you could hit it 4 inches and you will run to first.
That's right.
And then, I mean, it was kind of like, can we at least have them like take round first? Or take? But it was like station to station and then you will go here, you know. So there was no, but other than T-ball, I think in everything I can think of, basketball, flag football, certainly like the flag around here, we've got some parents. It's just incredible. The screaming, not just at the refs, but at like the coach too. I mean, screaming at the coach about like a play call or something like shut
or the
up.
Opposing team kids.
That's
like
well,
okay.
Yeah, no, but like that almost angers me more because it's like, so wait a minute, you're the parent of a kid, so you've taken the time to come out and watch this game. Why aren't you out coaching the practices then? Because this coach is volunteering his or her time to do this. And now you're going to whine about like what, you know, or pulled my kid out of the game. That honestly might be even worse than – it's not, but it's closer than you might think.
It may be worse.
It's close because it really is. It's like, thank you for – you know, taking your time with my kid to try to help my kid be better at sports.
Yeah. Like at least the umpire's getting paid.
And maybe, exactly. Right. And, you know, maybe learn things about like sportsmanship and how you're supposed to act in society. And then I'm going to scream at you because, like, I didn't like the play. I mean, it really is. And I've seen that way too much.
I mean, I think most umpires, like at the youth level, I think they're okay with discussion. Like I don't, as long as you don't go crazy with it, I think that they just kind of know that some of that comes with the territory. Like I've got some buddies that I play baseball with that umpire, and you know there'll be coaches that be like, I mean they'll get mad every now and then, but they never go over the line. And I don't think most umpires have a problem with that. It's when people go over the line, and most umpires
you
know,
expect some level of
it. most umpires also know that they're not going to get every call right, and sometimes they are going to screw up, and sometimes you know, it's warranted when a coach or a parent gets mad. So, like, I think that's okay. It's when you start going over the line. What you brought up, though, about, like, the yelling at the play calls for the coaches and stuff like that is always pretty funny to me. It's like, well, get out there then. What are you doing? There's never really a good response to that.
I will say this, too. There is also the – there's, like, the the youth coach who, and I've seen this in particular with a young youth coach who is a little too into things and a little bit screaming at the players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a rec.
I think tone.
It's a rec league.
Tone, too. Like, you can be like, come on, like, what was that call or something? And then you have some people, some parents in the stands or whoever's watching, like, aggressive. And it's like, okay. You could be saying the same thing, but it's like, okay, you're aggressive. Are you about to jump over the stands right now?
And sometimes
now?
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a little coaching in baseball, and my go-to was always, Blue, where was that one? Like, that's, I always just ask, where was that one? Because, oh, you think that was outside? Okay, cool. It was right down the middle.
But that's a fair question, too. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, okay, where was it? Because honestly, that question is, I want to know your strike zone.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know that one's inside. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, of course there's going to be some level of that. Everybody, you know, everybody who gets into it understands that. But it's just, like he says, problem is one man's come on Blue is another man's F you Draymond.
There is that. There is that, I will say, there have been a couple of times where you run into like an overly sensitive umpire that you don't know what's happened before that. Like maybe they've just been out there for a long time and they've dealt with some bad parents. But I have been into a game where like a coach says like one thing very innocuously, there's not much to it, and the umpire's like, one more thing from you and I'm running you from this park. I'm like, geez, man, calm down. It's all right.
No, it's true. I mean, it can sometimes the confrontational, well, certainly at the higher levels, I think there are some umps and like it's like, yeah, come on. Or we pick apart the officials in college and in pro sports, and some of them are not good, and the level of college sports officiating, we've talked about that ad nauseum, needs to improve. But I mean, at least there's some compensation there. Okay, I mean, there's a really good compensation at the highest level. Yeah. So that's just a totally different thing.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every day at 7:45 here on the program. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. By the way, Austin Hooper now joining us at 8:30. Had to push it back a little bit. So Titans tight end Austin Hooper joining us at 8:30 here on the show. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.